Today's scripture lesson comes from Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 44. And they should be up on the screen there. Sure. The subtitle is called The Highest Places of Honor. And I'll be reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Very, very, very contemporary translation. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to Jesus one day. "Teacher, we have something we want you to do for us." "What is it? I'll see what I can do." "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink, of being baptized in the baptism that I'm about to be plunged into?" They said, "Sure. Why not?" Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. There are other arrangements for that." When the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around," he said. "And when people get a little power and how quickly it goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve and not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me ask you a question. Assuming that everyone prays, and I'm sure they do, have you ever paid attention to your prayers? Think about that. Have you ever listened to yourself when you pray? In other words, what do you ask God for? Who are you asking about? Are all your prayers focused on yourself, your concerns, your needs, your issues? Today's gospel lesson from Mark tells us about two of Jesus' disciples who ask a special favor of Jesus, a special blessing from Jesus. And what was that? To be seated at Jesus' right and left hand, the highest seats of honor, when Jesus comes into his kingdom. Now you got to remember that they gave up everything to follow Jesus. And so they were kind of looking for some payback. They were looking for some kind of reward. And, you know, that wasn't quite exactly the way Jesus was looking at things. You see, James and John had been focusing upon their own selves, their own welfare, their own personal desires and promotion, rather than what was best for the whole group, the group being the disciples, the followers of Jesus. Well, when the other disciples heard about their request, they became furious. They became so upset for them to ask such a bold thing. So Jesus had to have a little come to Jesus meeting, we call it. Jesus had to call his boys in and he said, "Look, that's not the way it is in the kingdom. That's not the way that I am teaching you. You're thinking like the world thinks. Me first. Me, me, me. What's in it for me? My needs, getting my needs met. But Jesus' way, the kingdom way, was just the opposite. Jesus was in essence saying, look at me. I came to serve and not to be served. Follow my example." So now let's go back to my original question. What do your prayers sound like? Who do you pray for? What do you pray for? Are your prayers about getting blessings for yourself, special favors from Jesus, like James and John? Do you ask him for this or to give you that or to help you with this thing or that thing or make your way clear or to give you strength for something? Are your prayers so focused on yourself that you forget about the others around you, the others on the journey of faith that are with you? Remember, we're on a journey to hope. That's been our theme for these past 3 weeks in Lent, and will continue to be for the next 3 weeks as we journey together to hope. We got to remember, though, that we're not on this journey alone. There are others on this journey with us, right here amongst your church family, and many, many more out there in the world. We're on a journey with others, but we've got to be careful not to just think about ourselves like James and John did. We got to think about the welfare of the group, those on the journey with us. Now, don't get me wrong. God does care about your needs, and God will meet your needs. God will even give you the desires of your heart if they're according to His will. God loves you, and He wants to answer your prayers. But we also have to be mindful of those on the journey with us. James and John were overly concerned about themselves and not the other 12, the others with him, the other 9. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years, learning, seeing the miracles, hearing the teachings of Jesus and the Beatitudes and so forth. And when the two of them started getting, as my grandmother used to say, a little big for their britches, he had to call them in. He had to call them in. What I'm talking about here is the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And I cannot say that without thinking of that scene from Star Trek II where Spock has been contaminated in the engine room. You remember that scene? He's on the other side of the glass. I've grabbed the clip of it from YouTube. Todd, you want to run that? I'm a Trekkie. I can't help it. So.
Ship out of danger?
Yes.
Don't breathe, Admiral. It is logical. The needs of the many outweigh
the needs of the few.
Or the one.
Spock.
I have been, and always shall be, your friend.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. In other words, Spock was more concerned about the 1,500 souls on that ship than he was for himself, and he gave his life for the others. And as I think about what Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us today, that too much individualism can be disruptive on our journey, that it can cause problems in the family, it can cause problems in the church, it can cause problems in community. So how can we keep a healthy balance between the needs of the one and the needs of the many? Today we're on the third mile marker of our journey to hope. And one of the ways that we can keep this balance between personal fulfillment and the needs of the others, oddly enough, is our work. Our jobs, believe it or not. When you stop and think about it, how much time do you spend at work? More than you'd probably like. But it's at work that we are around other people in most jobs. It is at work that we develop relationships with others. If it weren't for our jobs, we would not be able to provide for ourselves and our families, nor be able to share our resources and our gifts with others through our giving and our charity and so forth to make this world a better place. An example that I'd like to use as regarding, you know, work and using our gifts and our talents at work is the space shuttle. As you know, the space shuttle has on an average from 6 to 8 people on board, and each one has their own specific jobs. The mission commander, the payload bay operator, the mission specialist, the scientists, and so forth. Each astronaut brings special skills and training to contribute to the success of the mission. Now, our destination this Lent is not the International Space Station, but it's a place called Hope. So how might our workplaces help us understand this whole us and the many concept? How might our work help us find hope at work, or maybe even bring hope to work? Many of you got my email this week, my email blast, question of the week. And that question asked, how do we find hope? How do we bring hope into the workplace? And I got some wonderful responses. And some of these might sound familiar because they are yours. One person wrote, I shared God's love by showing patience, respect, and compassion towards doctors, physical therapists, and others. A group of us meet for prayer at the start of every day. God has given me the very best job in the world. I have worked at Bethel Christian School from its inception in 1997. What a blessing to teach these children the love of Jesus. That's bringing hope into the job. We try to spread hope by Christian example. Offer hope when things seem darkest. It's what football coaches do at halftime, or what the boss does in sales meetings. And there were many, many, many other responses as well. Let me remind you that God created us with a purpose. And that purpose is to take care of one another and to take care of the earth in which God has created for our pleasure. And you could say that our life purpose has sort of kind of evolved into the work that we do. The message I believe God wants us to come away with today is this: that when we journey with others, and we are all in this together, we've got to think about others and not just about ourselves. To think collectively and not just individually. The journey of hope can be challenging, because we all have our own interests. We all have our own quirky ways and ways of thinking. But we've got to remember that we are in this journey together. To seek unity, to seek the building of relationships, and to have genuine concern for others that are on the journey with us. Today, Jesus is telling us he came to serve and not to be served, and to give his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. That, I believe, is the essence of the message today that God wants us to hear, that we are here to serve and not to be served.